Hello, welcome back to another episode of the Back to Better Book Club. I'm your host, Liz Fidler-Morgan, and I have got producer Abby here with me.
Hello.
Hello. So this month's book, November, we are talking about Joyful by Ingrid Fattel Lee. And this was a book that was recommended by my friend Jade, who was a few years younger than me in high school, very close family friend. Her brother and I graduated high school together. We were in 4-H, FFA, all the things, right? And so if someone like her recommends a book, I'm going to listen and I'm going to read it immediately. And she is going to come on the podcast with me in a couple weeks. And so that'll be our next episode. We'll be interviewing her. But of course, I made producer Abby read the book and come on and talk about it with me.
Do you want to guess where I started reading the audio version of this book? Like location-wise, where do you think I was?
The lake.
I was sitting in a deer stand.
Yeah.
Which, ironically enough, is my most joyful place.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, this is just really checking all the boxes.
And I think that, so overall, the book, and I hope that you've all read the book, but I'm gathering that most people are not. That's the feedback I'm getting. They're like, yeah, I listened to your podcast about it, and then I decide if I'm going to read it or not. But this is one I think everyone should read. If we're being honest, and maybe this will get back to the author, but maybe read the physical copy. The audiobook is challenging to listen to because her voice is incredibly monotone, and I think she does it on purpose, and I don't think that's how she really talks.
No, there's no way that's how she talks in normal life.
This is, you know, joyful and in and out of the... You have to listen because there's no...
And it's hard, especially like my preferred way of listening to an audiobook is one, in the deer stand, two, driving. Mm-hmm. So like she's so soothing, which she should be like an audio narrator for the Calm app. It's like putting me to sleep.
Yeah.
It's and lulling
and
me.
I understand the irony of, you know, I've had, there's over 100 reviews on Apple that are 5 stars. And there's one that's 2 stars because it says I talk about my dead husband too much, which I don't think I talk about him that much, but apparently I do. And then the other one, it was something about, you know, my interviewing skills could use some work or something. I'm like, well, yeah, yep. I'm learning. I didn't go to school for this. You did. So what's your excuse? I mean, we're not making fun of her. I mean, it's just the irony. I'm sure people are like, oh, Liz, your voice is freaking annoying, which That's fine too. But we both came to that conclusion on our own without warning the other.
But the content is there. Like, the content is good. The book is good.
Yes. The book is so good. And basically, the topic of joyful is how design or aesthetics or everyday objects can impact our happiness. It took her 8 years to write this book. And she really, the author just dove deep into things that impact joyfulness and not just happy, but like I said, joy. And we are taught that, you know, material things can't bring us happiness and whatever. But she's actually in the book, she's like, well, no, they can evoke joy. Things can. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, like the big concept of, you know, materialist always wanting more and more and the bigger house or mm-hmm. the this or that. But her thing is, you know, for example, a coffee mug. I got this mug from my friend Jezra in high school, and I have not talked to Jezra since I was probably 20. We just, lives went different places, and we weren't even that close of friends in high school, but then we worked at the nursing home together, and then I was in college, and she, a couple years ago or a year ago, like sent this to me randomly. She's like, yeah, I make mugs now. I follow you on social media. I sent this to you. And it just makes me happy. And I mean, in a perfect world, I would get together with her for coffee or something mm-hmm. when I do go home, but I never think of it. But it makes me happy. It makes me smile every time I see her, every time I see the mug, you know? And so it's giving those gifts that, if it's something that someone uses every day and it makes you smile and it, like, it's, there's joyful. A story behind it, like, it's joyful.
So, funny thing about your mug, I'm looking at it right now, and it actually has something on there that brings me joy. The design she used for the sun and flower thing on it, I have that tattoo on my back.
Oh.
Like, it's loosely the sun from Tangled, the Disney movie, and I have that tattoo on my back because that movie brings me joy.
Well, there you go.
Layer of irony there.
And so I do think that, you know, shapes, textures, they can affect our mood and bring joy. And one thing that made me really think about this is you know, she really talks about the millennial beige gray that came out. And I will admit that my house is, it's a lot of warm grays and neutrals because that, I mean, when you're building a brand new house, it's really hard to like, oh, I'm going to have pink tile. I have pink cabinets in my bathrooms. I have pink cabinets in my office. I did a mural wall, but otherwise everything's pretty neutral, but I have a lot of bright, colorful things hanging in my house just because it is expensive. It's not even that expensive, it's just paint, but it's the pain in the ass to change a paint color so then you can change your accessories.
Exactly, yeah.
But then all of a sudden we went through this phase where even our accessories and everything, our furniture, our pillows, our cups, everything had to be white, neutral, gray, calming. But I think where it's gone too far, in my opinion, is the nurseries and the kids' bedrooms. And I mean, my daughter Vi, she's in first grade, and I mean, the whole time, like the since she was old enough to talk, she has been very clear that there are certain stores that we go into and she'll just say, she's like, Mom, this is boring. This is so boring. And I want, you know, their bedroom to be a place where they can go play. And, mm-hmm. you know, maybe some people that the bedroom is just meant to sleep and they don't want their kids to play in there or whatever, or, you know, their toys that they play with. To me, like those bright, colorful objects are bright. Kids are drawn to it.
Yeah. Makes them happy.
It makes them happy. And it's just, it's very interesting to me that like those colors can bring the joy. And, you know, I don't know, like it just, it can just bring it. So she talks about the 10 aesthetics of joy. So energy, abundance, freedom, harmony, play, surprise, transcendence, magic, celebration, and renewal. But let's talk about energy. So she does talk about how your wardrobe and your clothes and things like that can bring you energy. And I have always done that without even realizing it. My iPad or my iPod headphones were pink.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I would get running tennis shoes, I would get hot pink or bright orange or bright blue. I would get bright colors of those things that I'm like, I'm not wearing them every day. Well, I'm wearing them every day because I used to run every single day and I need to get back at that. But there's something that like, you know, you wear them for an hour and if it's going to give me energy to work out or like right. a bright neon tank top or something, if that's going to give me energy, like I feel like Flash. I'm, you know, yeah. I'm just this whatever. Or my backpack was always pink in college. I've never not had a pink backpack, I think, since preschool. It's always been pink. And just accessorizing that way or bright colors that way or, you know, I think that was another thing that was really popular maybe 10 years ago. There was a eyeglass store. Was it Zenni?
Yeah, and they are coming back too. I just saw an ad for Zenni last night as I was watching TV.
Now we're going to get lots of Zenni ads. But when I was working as a nurse, it was so fun, especially on the night shift. Everyone had just crazy, the craziest glasses mm-hmm. you have ever seen. Like pink and purple zebra stripe glasses or orange polka dots with green, you know, glitter or something
just like
on them.
Electric.
Yes. And just crazy. And they're like, yeah, they were $15. They were $20. They were, you know, $30 on Zenni. And because the hospital was so dry. And so when you work night shifts, you don't want to wear your contacts. So you'd wear glasses. Well, you're working the night shift. So it was just like there were a lot of really, really fun glasses. And maybe they were unprofessional, but whatever.
Well, and I feel like the hospital is a place that needs that pop of color to bring that energy. Because the people that are there because they don't feel well. And you don't feel well. And then you go into this building where everything is beige or like the lightest shade of blue possible. If I went into the hospital feeling bad, that kind of environment's not going to make me feel better. Like just knowing myself, like I don't do well with beige. Like Southwest Minnesota State University yeah. down in Marshall.
Yeah.
I am so sorry. I'm going to talk bad about you. They're one of the few colleges that had the program I was interested in.
Yeah.
My parents drove down to Marshall for a college visit. It's like a 2.5 hour drive from my hometown.
Yeah. I grew up a half hour from there.
Yeah. Yeah. So we get down
I've been
there.
On that college. I've been on that campus. 50 times because we would have things there in high school.
And everything is beige.
Yeah.
The second I got out of the car, I'm like, I'm not going here. My parents are like, we drove 2.5 hours. You are taking this tour.
Yeah.
I'm not going to the school. I can't. There's no color here.
And the thing is, it's a tundra, so there's no trees.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no, I mean, so literally the outside is beige and then they picked brown for their colors.
Yes.
And it's just like, yeah, no, it is.
And then like walking through the tunnels, they're like, oh, and you can tell that we're under this building because it's this shade of brown. I'm like, this is hell.
This is hell.
I can't go here.
I can't go here.
I'm sure they have a great program. I had some friends that went to that school and graduated, and they're doing amazing things. So I'm sure you're great. It just was not for me.
They have a really good culinary program.
Culinary?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Culinary and teaching, I think, were the two things they were really known for.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I knew I was going to go to SDSU. Yeah. So they had ice cream. And
isn't it funny what we base those decisions on?
Ice cream and a rodeo team. Assless chap. No. Anyway.
And ice cream goes. I love it.
No. And then I think that another thing that struck a chord with me was she talked about those things that bring you happiness every single day. Those things that light you up, that make you happy. How many of those things are 10 minutes from your house? Because, you know, I have a friend that she's a lovely person and I have a lot of fun with her, but she loves the mountains. She loves hiking in Colorado. Like, she's talked about her dream, which now they have businesses here. Her son is, I believe, 8. Their son is 8. And yep, they're on a 10-year plan. In 10 years, once he graduates, they're moving out to the mountains.
That's amazing.
But part of me is like, I know you have these business here. I know you, but you work so hard, so much to just be able to go out to the mountains as often as you can. Mm-hmm. She loves hiking. She loves snowboarding, all these things. And it's like, just move there now. Like, this 10 years. And I know that that's so much easier said than done. I realize that that's so much easier said than done. But when that's truly your like full on personality, and that's what, you know, that's where you're, I don't know, like, what's keeping you here? You know, just go. Or those things that, you know, bring you happiness. But I try to, you know, I was trying to think, okay, what's within 10 minutes of my house? And there's a lot. There's a lot within 10 minutes of my house. There's a reason I live here. There's
a reason. Yeah, you're kind of in a prime location.
There's a reason I chose to build the house here after Josh died. Like, I'm going to stay here. It's a perfect location. We're 10 minutes from St. Cloud. We're 5 minutes from St. Joe. But then you go that way and it's St. Stephen, and those are my people. I love, there's nothing that makes me happier than going into Howie's Bar in St. Stephen with the locals. But it just, I can be whatever. We're 10 minutes from the interstate to get us an hour down to the cities, mm-hmm. Alexandria Lake area, where we literally just bought a lake cabin. It's a VRBO. Don't worry, we're not. I cannot afford a weekend lake cabin. If it doesn't get rented out, it's going to be for sale in a couple years. So
rent it out.
Rent it out. But those things that you like to do, you know, whether it's, you know, hiking or mm-hmm. whatever. And I think that was one of the hardest things when we moved out to the farm was I used to have running pads right in front of my house. And so I did run a lot less because it was just easier to just literally hop on the trails within town. Plus, I didn't have kids.
There is that.
I do love what she talked about with, you know, how objects can all of a sudden, when you're staying at an Airbnb or when you're staying somewhere and all of a sudden you look out and it's raining and you look down and, oh, there's an umbrella. Like, that little beat of joy just, I don't know, just makes it happy. Mm-hmm.
It's like the convenience factor. In my brain, that's what I find joyful is like mm-hmm. something is readily available for me. Oh, my life is so much better, which makes me happy, which in turn, all that happiness accumulates to joy.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the feelings that colors evoke. And I've been talking to a lot of my brides about this, that because I do flowers for weddings and how flowers really can set that vibe. And like, what look are you going for? Are you going for a soft, you know, romantic feel? If you put a bunch of bright flowers on the table, it really does bring joy. It really does set that mood for people. And I think that's the vibe that people are going for when they want I call it joyful meadow is what I'm calling that color palette. But then there's, you know, elegant romance. So that's a little bit of blush, or there's just, you know, the white elegance, classic elegance or whatever that might be. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy how color can set the mood for something like that.
It really can. And she actually, oddly enough, it's funny that this is one of the books that we're reading. Like, she talks a lot about flowers in it.
Yes.
And she also talks a lot about the wedding industry in it.
Yes.
Which I'm like, oh, this is really checking both of our boxes.
Yes, exactly. Because Abby's a wedding DJ.
And just last night I was listening to the chapter on like photo booths. She was talking about photo booths. And I'm like, toss around the idea of starting a photo booth addition to my business. I'm like, they do bring a lot of joy. I should do this.
Well, and I think that it's those things that as business owners, we're trying to figure out what it means when we're like, people want experiences, not things. Mm-hmm. But what does that mean? Like, what kind of experience, and how much are they willing to pay for it?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, as a business owner, you have to look at those things. What's going to be the most profitable? What is that fine line that people are going to want to pay for? What's that level of joy that I can provide that they can't get elsewhere, that I'm going to make them happy and, you know, have them give a positive review and want more for that?
And then the other layer to that is doing this bringing me joy.
Yeah.
Because like at some point, those two things are not going to like weigh the same on the scale. Because like, yeah, it's fun maybe once or twice. But if you don't like doing it, if you get in that groove and you're like, okay, well, now I'm established doing this and suddenly you hate it. Well, then why are you doing it?
One of my favorite chapters of the book was when she talked about the couple that bought a, they either sold their house or they never bought a house. And they bought a fixer-upper camper and just went out in life. And she was interviewing them and they were on an oceanside and they looked out the window and there were dolphins jumping. And they were like, so sorry about that. We got distracted by the dolphins. Anyway, what were you asking? And she's like, that was perfect. Like, okay, interview's over. Like, that's all I needed to know. And you know, those things that just every time that I'm out in, have you been to the Black Hills, like Spearfish Canyon?
Yes, that was where we went for our honeymoon. And literally just yesterday, my husband's like, hey, I'm getting laid off from work. Seasonal work's ending here soon. Should we go out to Deadwood for a weekend?
Yeah. So one of my college best friends, we were just chatting and that's where they're planning to like end up for retirement. And I kind of mentioned it to Brent. I'm like, so how do you feel about the hills? And he's like, oh, Kendra and Colby are fun, I guess. Like, I'm like, okay, I guess that's where we'll retire. I don't want to pay as many taxes. Like, it is. South Dakota will be a primary residence.
Well, and but that area is so incredible.
Yeah.
And the people are so laid back.
Yeah, you just walk out there and it's just this like calming and it smells good.
Yeah.
It smells so good.
The fresh air.
Yeah. And it's hard to describe. Like, it's so different than like Duluth area and I like Duluth area. It's cool, but it's not Black Hills. Yeah. It's not Spearfish.
There's an energy shift out there. You like hit that line and you're like, okay.
Okay.
I can breathe again.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, I love driving through West River. And I don't know. It's just pretty. But I think that another part of her chapter, so she talked about when she had to give a presentation. And so I've started wearing funky socks because of this book. These are my breast cancer awareness socks.
It is October.
And she was giving this big presentation and she was all nervous and she didn't know she was going to have to present. And I don't get nervous in public speaking situations unless I'm presenting to people that I think know more about something than I do. That happened a lot in grad school, or I was on some leadership, a few different leadership programs through the hospital, and it was a room of literally doctors, MBAs, 100 and some people, and I would get nervous there. And it was like, what is this? Like, I've never felt this before. I never felt this in high school. I never felt this in college, like, because they were all my peers. But when I'm presenting to someone that, you know, and then now with the podcast, I just pretend like nobody's listening because probably nobody is. So it's fine.
They are. There's numbers to prove that.
Well, you're like, don't say that. Sponsors. We do have really good numbers. Okay. Thank you all for listening. But I just pretend like nobody's listening. But anyway, the CEO at this presentation that she had to do, he just like crossed his legs and revealed his socks, and they were just like bright colored, like, you know, polka dot or something like that. And just how that, and all of a sudden she was like, they're just people. Like, they're just, she's like, the sense of calm that came over me. And it just, like, something like that, that can make you look human. Or she talked about how she had two credit cards that looked the same and she couldn't tell them apart. And one was her personal bank account and one was like the joint one with her husband. And so she put a sticker of a llama on one of them so she could tell them apart quickly without having to like flip over the back and see which one it was. And so she's like, greater than 50% of the time, the person that took her credit card would smile and laugh and comment on it. And to me, like, that is the joy that we need to bring. Your purple hair right now.
Yeah.
Like,
oh my gosh.
It just, like, if you love it and other people love it, like, it just, it's like, oh, she's fun.
I purely did this because when I was 7, I had a Barbie with purple hair and I've always wanted purple hair for myself. And I finally don't have to be a bridesmaid and wreck anyone's wedding pictures. And I have never been happier with my purple hair, even with it in a hat and unwashed at the moment. Last night at trivia, I had it up in just a high pony. Everyone was coming up to me. Your hair is amazing. Oh my God, I love your hair. Your hair is so fun. I'm like, yes.
Yes.
It is fun. Thank you for noticing.
Thank you. Okay, so what are some things you're going to incorporate in your life from this book? Besides the purple hair, but you did that already.
Yeah, I feel like I'm starting to go through my house already. Like just after reading that chapter, almost as I was reading it, listening to it, I started taking inventory of the things in my house that bring me joy and don't bring me joy. And one thing in my house, well, it's actually three things, but it's all part of one set that has driven me nuts for the past like 6 years because I absolutely hate these things. No offense to Les Kuba, but why do I have three of the damn spearfishing? Do you know what I'm talking about? The spearfishing paintings?
Oh, yeah.
The ice house?
Yeah.
I don't ice fish. My husband doesn't ice fish, but we have like the fancy framed ice fishing Les Kuba paintings in our basement where I spend all of my time running my business and I stare at these damn paintings and I have never liked them. Why are they up? What is stopping me from taking them down? So on my to-do list for next week is taking down the paintings and putting them some. My husband's like very like sentimentally attached to them because I think his dad who passed away gave them to him.
Yeah.
But like I think Kurt won them on a raffle or something.
Yeah, exactly. So
like,
but they didn't mean anything to him.
They didn't mean anything.
And Josh and I would have that, not argument, but that conversation all the time about his mom because she passed away a year and a half before we met. And, you know, I would say, Josh, the ironic thing is there is probably something that your mom like didn't even care about. Mm-hmm. And you're holding on to something that, I mean, honestly, I would say 90% of the shit in my house, if I were to kick the bucket, like, and if I found out that, you know, if I was, okay, let's say I was in a coma, right? And then 15 years from now, I come out of this coma and my kids are like, well, we knew that you'd be pissed if we threw away the plates. Be like, I got those at Goodwill. Like, no, I didn't care about those. Like, what are you doing? Like, I don't care about any of the shit I have. It's because I'm poor. Like, I'm cheap. Like, yeah. I don't. My aesthetic is I'm not buying new dinnerware.
The aesthetic is like, function at this point.
The aesthetic is function. And once I break enough plates, like, honestly, where I'm at with my bowls. Like in the last month, Davey has dropped 2 bowls on our tile.
Well, and you like, can't have nice things. You have children.
Exactly. And so, but we're down to like 7 matching bowls. Like that's all we have is 7 bowls. And if there's 4 of us eating like soup or something, and there's a few in the dishwasher, like we have no bowls. So we're eating out of Tupperware bowls. And I'm like, pretty soon we can, you know.
So pioneer of you.
But in her book, she shared that she went to Goodwill or some thrift store or whatever. And bought a bunch of white plates, but there was only a set of 8. And she's like, I need more like 12 because, you know, when they're in the dishwasher or you have friends over or whatever. But she decided to just buy some random bright colored ones and then just kind of put them within the stack. And how did she describe it in the book? There's a word she used.
I know what you're talking about. And then she like talked about having a dinner party and setting them all out differently. And like, I want to do that so bad now.
And then another thing she shared is just, it was so many, the book is so good. It's so good. She also talked about a friend that whenever she loses a button on her shirt, she just replaces it with like a similar other colored button. Mm-hmm. And just like her jacket has like this random purple button on it or whatever it might be. Yeah, you know, I don't know. Like,
and it's just fun. Yeah, it's exactly. Just fun.
Exactly. Rain boots, raincoats. Mm-hmm. She's like, there's a reason that they're yellow. A rainy day is a dreary day and it's pissing you off and you know, whatever. She's like, why have a black umbrella? That's going to cheer you up. Like, you know, and then I'm going off on tangents, but like
this book is a series of tangents
and just eye opening things. And I just felt so validated. And granted, right now I'm wearing literally like white girl uniform. I'm wearing like a short cropped puffy vest with a white and black shirt underneath it. But I have my hot pink socks that do not match this outfit whatsoever. But she's like, since when did being neutral or wearing no colors, it gave you this like superiority or maturity or
I'm better than you in some way.
And I just do not subscribe.
Yeah.
I'm very much getting over that. Yeah.
I feel like in your early 20s, you're like constantly told, be professional, present professional. And like, I'm just at the point now where it's like, I'm going to wear what I feel comfortable and confident in. Right now, that's my pair of jeans and my Amazon quarter zip. But like, I am, if there's something that has rhinestones on it, I am now just buying it. Like, I don't care. I'm buying it because I love rhinestones. Like I have, my favorite thing is my jean jacket that's covered in rhinestones. My God, it makes me feel like $1 million.
Didn't you wear it to Taylor Swift?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, just being drawn to those pops of color, or, you know, Vidalia, she had her first grade school pictures. Once again, she wore her leopard print shirt and her beaded string necklace that's like rainbow that she made, and she wore it for school pictures, and she wore it last year too, that same necklace. And
Didn't she snuck it in the picture
last year, and then this year she was like, Mom, what do you think about my necklace? I think it's my best look. That's what she said to me, and I'm like, you go for it. You know what, if I can't have a bright homemade colored necklace on my kid's photo on the wall, like, that's not a world I want to be in, where I'm telling my first grader that she can't wear what she wants because that's not, you know, oh, not for school pictures, that's not appropriate, or that's not whatever.
Why do first graders need formal headshots?
Formal headshots? It's like, I want to capture in time, it's a professionally captured in time moment of her personality, you know. And now I look at family photos and stuff like that, because trust me, and I know you don't have kids, but like, it's not fun. It is this freaking war. It is terrible. Like, behind, and I know everybody does it. Like, it's a smile, damn it, you're not getting ice cream. Mm-hmm. Like, it's threats. It's like, the sooner you smile, like, I just want one good photo.
I ask for one thing a year.
And so, I mean, a couple months ago, there was a photographer that came. She was going to do some mini shots, and she offered to do like photos of the girls for free. I'm like, sure. And I literally let them wear whatever they want. Davey had a long sleeve, tooled red and gold, like Christmas dress. And Vidalia's was like pastel rainbow. And I was like, well, that's what they're wearing. And it looked terrible together. But I was like, that's what they picked. And that's what they wanted to wear. And they're some of my favorite photos. And if that's what, you know, but it's like, well, they didn't match. Well, I don't give a shit. Like,
who cares?
Now, like, at a wedding, at a professional setting, if I was going in and out of the clinic, no, I'm not going to wear pink sequin pants and whatever. Like, there is a place. And
yes.
I've actually, you know, I wear my pink flares a lot when I do speaking, because I do a lot of public speaking. Not a lot, but I'm getting there. So if you need someone. But I'll wear the pants. But I don't know, that speaking course that I took a year ago, the only advice that I was like, yeah, I'm not taking that, was she's like, don't be known for your clothes. Dress very neutrally. You know, you don't want your clothes to be a distraction. And I'm like, like, I disagree. And I'm not saying you need to, like, you know, dress insane, but like, if I want to wear some pink flares, or...
Yeah, you're not showing up in a hot dog costume.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. If it's fun. Although, then I had a lady at... Because I spoke in this thing called... Well, it was called Women in Blue Jeans, and I wore hot pink flares. Anyway, I was in the bathroom, and she's like in her 70s. And she goes, I just want you to know, I love your pants. And who cares what other people are saying about you?
What are they saying?
I was like, I guess I do. Okay.
What have you been hearing?
And I just laughed it off. Like, I was like, all right.
That's incredible. But I think there's a term for this. If my phone wasn't recording this right now, I'd Google it. I think it's like the Hollywood something of like having a key thing that you are like visually known for. Your pink pants are that.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like when they think pink flares, uh-huh, they're gonna think Liz.
Yep.
And there's something to be said for that. Mm-hmm. That may or may not be why I dyed my Grande's hair purple. Yeah, her high pony. Yep.
Or Lainey Wilson's flares. Yep. Or Dolly's dolliness.
It's Dolly's aura in general. But like, yeah, it's like having that statement piece that makes you feel incredible, makes you feel joyful, that in turn makes other people feel joyful and recognize who you are.
No, I want to, as we're putting up this building on the farm, this time next year it'll be done. But I wanted to, after reading this book, I really wanted to paint my half bathroom. And I'm going to paint it green. Brent agreed on green.
Okay.
But I was going to paint it pink because our office has that pink and green mural. And I was like, you know, because it's white. Like, I got so sick of everything. I'm like, just like, we were living in the camper. It was freaking cold. Mice were coming in the camper. Like, I don't want to wait an extra day to move in. Like, just paint it all white and then I'll figure it out later. Well, it's been 2 years. And so I do want to paint my half bathroom. So it's white with white trim right now. It's got some cute cabinets, cute floor, but it's white. So he I was like, hey, I think I'm going to paint it pink. And he's like, please no. He's like, please don't. He's like, I don't want the half bathroom to be pink. Okay. It's literally the bathroom that everyone uses. It's right off the kitchen. It's where guests go. It's the most used bathroom in the house. He's like, I really don't want it pink. I'm like, okay, fine.
But you weren't going full 60s. Were you going to tile the whole thing pink and put in a pink toilet?
No, but that would be cool. However, in the bathroom down there in the building, I'm like, you know, if you can't have... And that's what I said. I go, fine, but I'm going to go wild on the bathrooms in our, you know, new event space, floral shop. And he's like, you go for it. He's like, if you can't do it there, like, he's like, I don't care. He's like, I'll even help you put up some crazy wallpaper, like whatever you want. But he's like, just not in our house, in the bathroom I use every day. Like it would bring him not joy. And yeah. In his defense, if he camouflaged the entire bathroom, I'd be like, oh, my. Or went on, what is it? Earl Dibbles Jr. America.
Yeah. Like, put a little yee yee sign.
In my bathroom, like that would take away my joy. So right. In his defense, I can't get mad at him.
Marriage is all about compromise.
Yes, exactly. So but my building, my bathroom.
Yep. But yeah, that's the thing. Like, back to the Les Kuba paintings. They bring my husband joy. They don't bring me joy. So they're going down. And if he wants them in his office upstairs, great. They can go up there. I don't know where he's going to find the wall space for them, but like, it's time to take down the things that don't bring me joy, put up some things that do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we would love to hear if you have any other thoughts about the book. I'm very, very excited to get Jade's take on what the book did for her, or like the feelings that it evoked. But I would love for you guys to let us know what you think of the book. Joyful.